going down. Preschool and kindergarten, go downstairs with Miss Jessica. All the other ages, go with Brother Ken over to the gym. As they're heading out, go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Nothing like telling the Lord that you love Him. Sometimes when you're in your personal prayer life and it's just you and God, it's good, instead of praying for anything else, saying, God, I need this, I need that. And we are needful people. We understand that. We do need God. But sometimes it's good just to get on your knees and say, Lord, I love You. I love You. And the more you think about it, the more you'll start loving Him. Because then you'll start realizing why you love Him. And He just gets better and better and better every day. Day by day, minute by minute, He's the best thing that's ever happened to us. Amen. If we sang that song and you don't understand that, you don't understand that personal relationship with the Lord, if you're not saved in here today, I encourage you to get saved. It's the best thing, the best decision you'll ever make. Meeting the God of all the universe and Him becoming your Father, and you have that relationship with Him, there's nothing like that. He is the best thing that's ever happened to us. And we could spend an entire service of people just standing up and just saying how good God's been. And we couldn't even finish the service because there's just so much we can say. And it would never be enough to say how good God is. What a wonderful God we serve. Turn to Galatians chapter number 1. In Sunday school, we've been in the book of Galatians with the teenagers. And it's been a blessing. We're about halfway through. And the Lord's really just been showing me a lot out of the book of Galatians. And when you're studying for Sunday school, you kind of go verse by verse. You're really looking for something, and you're praying, saying, Lord, show me something. And how I pray usually is I say, Lord, what did Paul want for the Galatians, right? That's the important part of the book. What was he trying to get across? And then, Lord, what do you want for me? What do you want me to get out of the book of Galatians? And then for the teenagers, I say, Lord, what do you want me to get across for the young people that they need to hear out of the book of Galatians? And we've had a great time in the book. I've enjoyed it, and the Lord's really shown me some things. And we're going to go over some stuff this morning. We taught a little bit on it in the Sunday school with the teenagers, but the Lord's really given me a message out of this that I want to preach on. And so we're going to start here in Galatians chapter number 1. We're going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll pray and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Look at verse number 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. The first thing I want you to realize here, this isn't the message, but what's going on in the book of Galatians is the gospel is being attacked. The gospel is constantly being attacked through the book of Galatians. Someone has come into the church of Galatia and turned their hearts and turned their minds against the gospel. That gospel that once saved them and changed their lives, and they had a fire in their heart about it, and they preach about it, and they would stand for it and do all these things, but someone came in and messed them up. Someone came in and added some doctrines that didn't need to be added. They talked about works and how their works would save them and their works would keep them saved. And we understand the doctrine of the church that, hey, it's not faith plus works. Thank God for that, by the way, because every one of us would miss out. If it was work-based, we would not make it. There is no good thing that dwells in our flesh. There's nothing good about us. Our heart is desperately wicked. We are a wicked creature. We can never outweigh our evil with our good. It's not possible. Amen. And here Paul's saying to that, and I love this first verse. He says, I'm an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. The reason he says that, he gets right into it. He said, hey, listen, you've heard some false doctrines. Somebody's trying to mess you up. He said, so before you say, hey, that's just what Paul believes, he said, let me tell you where I come from. I'm an apostle, not of men, but by Jesus Christ. He said, that gospel I gave you was from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself. I'm not giving you a message that's from me. I'm not giving you something that I made up. Listen, I didn't sit around with the pastor at Jerusalem and we didn't talk, hey, what's a good thing that we can create for the church? No, there were men of God that prayed and said, God, What would you have me to say? And Jesus Christ said, hey, I was killed for you, I was buried for you, and I raised again for you. You go tell others about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God the gospel still has power. Thank God it's still the gospel that saves souls. It's still the gospel that changes lives. And if you're saved in here this morning, it's still the gospel that gives the power of God in your life. When you hear the gospel preached, a lot of times what we do is we go, man, I sure hope someone in here who's lost gets saved today. The preacher's preaching on salvation. I hope somebody gets saved. And you almost automatically say, this isn't for me. But here's Paul talking to a church of saved people saying, the gospel is still for you. Remember where you came from. Amen. And he's saying, hey, I'm an apostle. God has given me this. So now we understand when we read chapter number 1 that it's God that gave him the message, not him. There's a lot of times a preacher will get behind a pulpit, prayed up, studied up, and the audience that hears him go, well, that's just his opinion. Be careful of that. Because if it's God who gave him the message, you're not arguing with a man, you're arguing with the Lord. And so here he says, it's God who gave me this message. Verse number 2, it says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Here's the gospel. That we might deliver, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He was amazed at how fast they forsook the gospel. It amazed him. Verse number 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, he's talking about himself, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That curse still applies today. Listen to me, church. If anybody tries to convince you something different than what's in the Word of God, it's wrong. Whether it be a preacher that you trust, whether it be a man of God, whether it be some angel, some being, I don't care what you think you saw. Listen, if they say something that is contrary to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're wrong. You need to know your Bible, know what you believe and why you believe it. And he says in verse number 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that they which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then ye that have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, is what we'll pray. Lord, I do thank you for being so good to us this morning. God, thank you for the songs that we've already sung. God, thank you for the choir lifting you up, Lord. Thank you for that song. Lord, I just want to tell you I love you this morning, God. You've been good to me, God. You're better to me than I deserve, and I pray that I would just make you proud this morning. I pray I'd please you in my preaching. I pray that I would say what needs to be said, God. You have a church here who's hungry for the Word of God, hungry to get something. Lord, they need you this morning, God, and I pray that you'd please help them and feed them from the Word of God. I pray that the verses would be magnified and lifted up. God, I pray that you'd give me a supernatural touch. I cannot do it on my own, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to preach from my heart, not my mind. And God, I pray that you'd please help your people. If there's anyone here who's not saved, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that hell would be on their mind the entire time I preach. And I pray that eternity would be their conviction. God, I pray that you just please help me. God, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the people that are faithful this morning. I pray you bless their faithfulness, help them to get something from the Word of God. And I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. So what we have here in the book of Galatians is Paul defending the gospel, like I said. He's defending it. And there's going to be times in your life you're going to have to defend what you believe, by the way. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to have to stand up and say, hey, I don't agree with what you're saying. This is what the Bible says, and I'm going to stand on that. And that's your only defense. If you don't have the Bible, you don't have a defense. You stand on this book. I once argued with a person that I worked with in Connecticut. He always said, you know, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible. And so as a young person, I kind of thought and go, well, I have no defense then. If he doesn't believe that the Bible has power, then it doesn't matter what I say. I can't argue with him. But one day a preacher came to me and I told him my problem. He said, it doesn't matter if he doesn't believe it has power. You know that book has power. And so keep standing on it. Keep defending it. Keep preaching it. Because eventually those verses are going to convict his heart. And so you still stand on this book. And so here's Paul, he's defending it. And while he's defending it, he gives his testimony. Now, Paul's known for giving his testimony many times. Can I say this to you? Your testimony is the most powerful thing you have as a Christian. It is so powerful. See, what makes it so powerful? It's yours and yours alone. No one else has it. I'm saved. You're saved. But our road to salvation was so very different. No matter what it is, you say, well, I grew up in church too. It doesn't matter. Something in our life was different, and God had to deal with us in a very individual and very personal way, and we know exactly what it was like to get saved. We know what it was like when God changed our life. We know what it was like when God met us, by the way, and thank God that he did. And so your testimony is so powerful. Why do you think the world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly trying to get you to ruin it? Because they want to take your power away. They want to take that power. And so make sure you know that your testimony is the best thing you have. And so here's Paul once again. He uses it in the book of Acts. He uses it here in Galatians. He's giving his testimony to show, hey, what I have to say is from the Lord. Let me tell you a little bit about me is what he's saying. Look at verse number 13. It says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Here's his testimony. He said, hey, I want you to know I was faithful in my religion. I said this before this morning. How many of you are faithful to your religion? Just the Baptist religion. Listen, I'm for the Baptist. Why? Because we're Bible believers first, most before anything else. That's why we stand Baptist, because we believe they're the closest to the book. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a Baptist church. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for being a Bible believer. But listen to me. That's not what saves you. Coming to church is not what saves you. Say, Brother Michael, why are you preaching on this? When I lived in Connecticut, there was a preacher's daughter named Becca, and she was, I believe she was 13, 14, 15 years old around that time, and she came to our youth rally here in Delaware, and while she was here, the preacher started preaching, and guess what? She was convicted and said, man, I've never been saved. She had gone through her teenage years thinking that her daddy's religion is what saved her. She had gone through her entire teenage, through her entire childhood into her teenage years, thinking, man, I've read my Bible. My dad made me read it 20 minutes a day. I prayed every day. We prayed before we ate our meal. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We were faithful. And guess what? They were probably more faithful than the rest of the church. So when you start comparing yourselves among yourselves, you say, man, I'm doing really good. But you know what she realized? All that she was doing, she was doing it without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And she ended up getting saved. Thank God for that. But let me tell you this. Then she went back to Connecticut, gave her testimony on a Sunday night and saying, I got saved, crying, tears in her eyes, thanking God for getting saved. And there was four other girls in the youth group who had the exact same testimony. They thought they were saved because they grew up in church. And so they hear this teenager who they've grown up with and they've known her whole life saying that she's not saved. And I'm not for recapping, but guess what? It was not personal to them either. And they said, man, I'm not saved either. I've just been going through the motions. I've been going through the religion. Listen to me, Faith Baptist Church. Religion will not save you. There are young people in this church who have grown up in church, and I'm praying they're saved, and I believe a lot of them are saved. But I cannot be a fool in saying they're guaranteed that they're saved. It could just be a religion. Make sure that your relationship is personal with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he says, I was faithful to the Jews' religion. Listen, he knew the law better than any other man. When it came to the law, he was studied in it. He understood it better than anybody else. He could quote it to you. He knew what he believed and why he believed it. He was a real, true Jew, the Bible says. Listen, he believed it. He wasn't just born a Jew. He believed everything they taught, and he was zealous in his religion. He was willing to kill people if they believed a different idea than what he believed. He was zealous. And so what he would do is he believed in his religion so much that he would go to doors and he would bang on the door and then drag Christians out of their home and kill them. He was known for it. Listen, the church age, the early church, they were terrified of a man named Saul. They knew that when he came to town, they had better run for their lives because he was going to kill them. And he believed it with all his heart. He was not an evil man in the sense that he was just trying to destroy the church. He was an evil man, yes, but he thought he was 100% right. He thought he was doing the work of God. He was faithful in his religion, but you know what he says? I had to find out one day that I was wrong, The way that I'm living is wrong. My ideas are wrong. He repented when Jesus Christ met him on the road and said, "Hey, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Lord, what can I do for you? God, I'll give you my life. I'll do whatever you want." And he got saved that day. Listen to me, church. Is there someone here whose testimony you think that you're doing everything right? You think that the way you're living is okay? You need to come to a place where you realize that you're wrong and you're going to die in your sin without God. You have to realize that he's the Savior. Yes, Paul realized that. Paul realized that, and so he gives his testimony, and he ends up getting saved. Thank God for that. By the way, we're all fruit of the Apostle Paul. I'm glad he got saved. Got to read his epistles that change our life on a daily basis. And so here he says, "I was faithful to the church, and I wasted it." Now, I want you to realize something here, church. The way the word is being used here, he literally means he destroyed the church of God. He was going out of his way actively, trying to kill people, trying to destroy the movement that Jesus Christ had started. He was trying to destroy the church of God. He said, "I wasted it." And so we understand that. I don't want to take that out of context, but I want you to think, how many times have we wasted the church of God? Not in that sense, but how many of us have heard of wasted opportunities? Wasted potential, wasted prayers, wasted messages, wasted life. Because time after time after time, you've sat in this church and a man of God has preached to you over and over again out of the Word of God, and you leave here the same way you came. You've wasted it. What a waste for men and women who die and go to hell, stepping over the prayers of their loved ones, the prayers of the preacher, witnesses, opportunities. They step over all of it and die and go to hell. Wasted. Wasted. How about you, Christian? How about the one who's saved in here? How many times have you heard messages preached to you and you still won't get it right? You still won't give it up. You still won't surrender everything to God. You still want to live the life you want to live. Wasted. Wasted potential. And so here, Paul giving his testimony, he says that I was faithful in the Jews' religion. I wasted the church. But then something changed in my life. I want you to notice verse number 13, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past." Here's the thing, Christian, that's what he used to be. That's what he used to be. He said, "I used to be a horrible man. I used to be someone who destroyed this church. I used to be someone who would kill people without a single thought in my mind that it was wrong. I used to be that way, but I'm not that way any longer. I've changed." In fact, he uses the same wording in Ephesians chapter number 2. Turn there. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. This is what he tells the church of Ephesus. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." He starts telling them, hey, you were once a sinner. You were once wicked. He said, listen, your conversation in times past was in the lust of your own flesh, fulfilling the desires of your flesh. You know what the world thinks? The world thinks they're doing what they want to do. In fact, if you preach to them, right, if you tell them, hey, the way you're living is wrong, they say, you can't tell me how to live my life. It's not up to you what I do. I'm making my own choices. I'm living the way I want to live. But here's the sad truth. Listen to me, church. They're doing what the devil wants them to do. They're not living their own life. They're not making their own choices. They're in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to their own wickedness. In fact, Romans chapter 6, verse 17 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." That's what the beginning of that verse says. You were once a servant of sin. Listen to me, church. One point, you had no control over your body. You had no control over the decisions you made. You thought you were doing what you wanted to do. But ultimately, there was a devil in the background going, yep, I got him. He's still living the way I want him to live. He's walking according to the course of this world. You were all going down the same path. That path of destruction. The Bible calls it the broad path. There's a lot of people there. A lot of unique individuals making their own choices. A lot of people living their own life, going by the beat of their own drum, yet they're all headed to the same way. destruction. Walking in the course of this world. Walking the way that, in fact, all you ever cared about, the only thing you cared to do, was walk in the lust of your own flesh. Pleasing the desires of your mind, your heart, and your flesh. What's that mean? Whatever sin you wanted to do, you did everything in your power to do it. You were controlled by sin. You were a slave to sin. We just wanted to fulfill our own flesh. But I want you to realize something about this. Turn to Galatians chapter number 1 again. I want to show you what Paul says. This is what I like about this chapter here. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 23. Look at that first phrase. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Your testimony, listen to me, church, used to be that you fulfilled your lust. It used to be that you did whatever you wanted to do. It used to be that you were on that broad path on the way to hell and destruction. It used to be that you were serving the God of this world. But thank God one day God came by your way and changed your direction. Thank God Jesus Christ cared enough and loved you enough to reach out the nail-pierced hand and say, hey, I want to save you. I want to change your life. I don't want you to be on this broad path. I've got a narrow path where it's peace and it's sweet and I'm good to you and I love you and I care for you and I'll take care of you. Will you come? And if you've accepted that invitation, it's the best decision you've ever made. Thank God for the day that God came by your way. I'm so thankful for July 25th, 2004, 8:15 p.m. on a Sunday night when God came by my way and said, hey, you are lost and on your way to hell. You are fulfilling your own desires. But thank God he came and said, but it can be different if you accept me. What a God we serve. Say, why are you excited about this? Because we're losing the joy of our salvation. We're no longer excited about the things of God. You know why a choir can get up here and sing about how much they love the Lord and you will not worship? It's because you forgot where you were. You forgot what it was like when God came by your way. You forgot what it was like when God changed everything about your life. Look what God has given you. Some of you, he's given an amazing family. He's given kids. He's given a wife. He's given a husband. He's given you so much. But yet you get so self-centered and so looking at you and looking at the troubles and the heartache that you forget how good God has been. You know what God said in Isaiah talking about his people? He said, you have forgotten God day by day by day. He's saying, days go by and you won't even think about me. And then you know what's sad about that same chapter? He says, is it me, Israel? Am I the reason that you've swayed? Am I the reason that you've left the right path? Is it me? Man, can you imagine the heartbreak of God? A God who saved you, changed your life, changed your eternal destination, changed your physical direction, and then you just spit in his face and walk away, and he says, did I do something? Was it me? Man, have you ever thought about hurting the heart of God? Listen to me. Can you imagine Genesis chapter number 3? He created Adam and Eve for his pleasure. He was looking forward to a relationship with man. Why? I have no idea. Why would you even want to communicate with us? Why would you even want to talk to us? But we serve a God who's so good that he wants a relationship with us. And then one day, Eve sees that serpent. That serpent comes in, subtle, and says, yea, hath God said? That's how it starts. Starts getting you to question God. And eventually, she makes that choice, and she eats that fruit. And then guess what? Here comes Adam. He sees what she has done. He knows the consequences, and he makes a choice that day. His wife or God. And he chooses Eve. And he takes that fruit and willingly takes a bite of that fruit. And sin entered the world. You know what happens next? Here comes God walking through the garden. Adam, where are you, Adam? I was looking forward to this time when we get to walk in the garden together. Adam, I was looking forward to just walking with you and talking with you and fellowshipping with you. Remember the other day when you named all the animals? Man, that was awesome. You came up with some funny names, Adam. God's sitting there and he's saying, Adam, I just want to talk with you. What happened, Adam? Adam's over in a bush hiding. Sin will always take you away from God.
And
now God, listen to me, quit worrying about us. We always think about how we're brokenhearted. We always think about how we have it rough. How does the God of all the universe feel when his own child is hiding when he comes showing up? Man, that's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough. I was talking to Brother Andrew the other day. He texted me. He was so excited. And it ended up convicting me. He said, you know, my son came down the steps and wanted to play trains with me. He was so excited to want to play with me. And that made Andrew convicted because he thought, man, how many times am I not excited to spend time with God? Because, see, Andrew was so excited that his son wants to hang out with him and be with him. And that's an exciting thing for a dad. And then he thought, but how many times do I not want to spend time with my father? Can you imagine, Andrew, if your son came down and said, Daddy, I don't want to play with you. Daddy, I don't want to be around you. And that's going to crush you. But we do it every day to God. God, I don't want to be around you today. It was fun last week. We had a great time in services, but I got it this week, God. I'm fine. And here's God walking through the garden. Michael Shane, remember when we talked last week? I really enjoyed that. Did you want a fellowship this week? I said, God, I got my own thing this week. Sorry, don't have time for you. Man, the heartbeat of God. Broken. He said his conversation was in times past. So what is conversation? Conversation, a lot of times me talking to Brother Squeaky, that's a conversation. But conversation in the Bible is so much more than that. Conversation in the Bible is everything you are. Your personality, your body language, the way you walk, the way you talk, that's your conversation. He said, everything I used to be was in times past. Listen to me, church. Everything you used to be, if you're saved in here, should be in times past. But how many times is our past still our present? Aren't we saved? Aren't we changed now? Aren't we different? God has changed us. Thank God for that. He has delivered us from sin. We're no longer in bondage. In fact, Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But so many times, church, we go back to the chains. We go back to the sin. We go back to the way it used to be. Hey, don't you remember how terrible it was? Don't you remember the heartache? Don't you remember the sin? Don't you remember the broken homes? Don't you remember the broken hearts? Don't you remember those things before God showed up? Why in the world do we want to go back? He's better. He's far better. But something in our heart constantly is drawing away from God. He said, but they had heard only. Thank God that they had only heard about what Paul used to be. Thank God that when Paul showed up, there was little kids in the room that would go, hey, I love the Apostle Paul. Daddy, Paul's coming to preach. I can't wait to hear him. He's a man of God. When he comes, God shows up. I can't wait to hear Paul. And then here's Daddy listening to his son going, yeah, I can't wait to hear him either. And in the back of his mind, he's remembering, man, I used to be so scared of Saul. Every time I found out he was coming to town, I'd have to take my family and run. But my kid doesn't remember that. My kid only knows a preacher who loves the Lord. My kid only knows a preacher who serves God. Let me ask you, church, is your testimony that they heard only or that they heard today?
Yeah.
What's your testimony? We need some men and women in this church to stand up and say, I used to be this, but thanks be to God, I'm not that way anymore. Thanks be to God for my family, I'm different. Thanks be to God, I don't live the way I used to live. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't serve the devil like I used to serve him. I'm changed. Why? Because God changed me.
Amen.
They had heard only. They had heard only. One of my biggest blessings about Pastor Ryman is I cannot imagine him as a gang leader. It makes me laugh. I literally am like, there's no way. That dude is not a gang leader. He's a pup-up who gives people candy. He does not kill people. That is not his thing. No, that's bad. Bad Pastor Ryman, right? I can't think of that. Why? Because I've heard only. Thank God I've heard only. Thank God that he got up like a man, by the way, and said, I will not live this way anymore. My kids will not see what I used to be. My kids will grow up in a Christian home. My kids will grow up under the Bible. My kids will grow up in a church that loves the Lord underneath preaching about God. That's what my kids are to grow up in. And thanks be to God. When he got up here and said whatever it was, when he got saved that day and he mentioned his date, you know what? I started crying. Why? Because if he didn't get saved and his life
life didn't change, how many of us would be affected that Pastor Ryman didn't get saved? Every one of us in this room better thank God that Alan Ryman got saved. It's affected all of our lives. Why? Because one day he decided they had heard only. They had heard only. He said, you may hear about the way I used to be, but you'll never see it. There are some men in this church who I've heard their testimonies. Thank God I've heard only. Amen. Keep going, by the way. Hey, if that's you and you've heard only, keep going for the Lord. Keep serving God. Keep living clean. It's worth it. Your family needs you to keep serving God and that they heard only. Don't ever let them see it. Don't ever let them see it. He said, you used to walk to the course of this world. You used to fulfill the lusts of your flesh. But how many Christians today, presently, are still giving in to the lusts of their flesh? Still wanting to serve their own course. Still wanting to do what they want to do. And don't care a thing about how God feels about it. I heard only. I hope our testimonies tonight are I've heard only. I've heard only. You know what happens? You know how it becomes, I've heard only? Look at Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse number 15. I love this part. Paul is saying, man, I was so wicked. I was so vile. I destroyed this very religion that I love now. I destroyed the church that I now preach for. I destroyed the gospel that I now stand for. I did everything in my power to destroy it. But even when I was at my worst, verse number 15, but when it pleased God. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You know how you get to a place where it's I heard only? When you realize that it pleased God to save your soul. When you realize that God was excited about saving you. When you realize that what puts a smile on the Savior's face is putting his arms wide with nails in his wrist and in his feet. A whip across his back, thorns in his brow, and he's happy because he knows he's doing it for you and I. He was pleased to call Paul by his grace. Aren't you so excited that he called you one day by his grace? Man, you were so wicked. You were so vile. You were so disgusting. I can get worse and worse because guess what? It's still you. But one day it pleased God to come by your way. Amen. It pleased him. He said, man, he was telling his angels as they were crying out, holy, holy, holy. He said, hold on, Brother Eric. I got to come down to where Eric Riley is. I need to save him today. I need to change his life. I died for him. My blood paid for his sin debt. And I'm coming for him. It pleased God to change Eric Riley's life. It pleased God one day when April Cox was sitting in Polytech High School. It pleased him to send Miss Ruth her way and tell her about a Savior. And she got saved. He said, watch this, I'm not done yet. There's a Sarah Cox, there's a Rick Cox that need me too. And he came by their way and he saved them. He said, I'm not done yet. There's a Michael Morseberger and a Laura Morseberger. They need me too. And he saved them. He said, I'm not done yet. There's a second generation and a third generation. Generation, and I'm going to save them too. It pleased God. I didn't even get into my wife's family, but it pleased God then too. And then she walked into the aisle to see me, and that pleased me. Hallelujah. Look at that. We all pleased in that one. It pleased God. It goes so much deeper than that. Isaiah 53, verse number 10. Is one of the, I'll read it to you, you don't want to turn there. It said, yet it pleased God, or pleased the Lord, to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Wait a minute, that's his son. Hold on now, I'm having a daughter, maybe today. I have no idea. But it would never please me to hurt her. I can't imagine hurting her. She's my world and I haven't even met her yet. I can't imagine doing anything to cause her grief. But it pleased God to bruise his only begotten son. Why? For you and I? Man, what a trade up. He gave his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son with a smile on his face and said, Lord, I said, Jesus, I know you're going to be beaten.
I know you're going to be scarred and marred more than any other man. I know you're going to be punished for man's sins. But when it's done, we can bring them all home. When it's done, we're going to restore that fellowship that we had in the garden. Remember when we got to talk to Adam? Remember the fellowship we had in the garden? It's all going to come back. You're going to have to take a whip. You're going to have to get the crown of thorns in your head. You're going to be bruised. You're going to be beaten. But son, when it's done, we're getting them all back. It pleased God to hurt his own son for you and I. When you get that in your mind, it'll change how you live your life. Look what Paul said in verse number 10 of Galatians 1. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He said, listen to me, church. Everything I'm doing, it's not to please you. It's not to help you. He said, I'm glad when it helps you. I'm glad when you get something from it. He said, but every step I take, it's to please him. Why? Because it pleased him one day to save me. It pleased him one day to change my life. It pleased him one day to call me out of the muck and the mire. It pleased him. And because it pleased him to do that, I just want to please him with my life. He's been so good to me. He said in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, because the Son of God loved me enough to die for me. Listen, if you're not saved in here this morning, your sin has been bought on Calvary. Jesus Christ spread his arms on Calvary for you and I. I've accepted that gift, have you? He died for you. If you are in here and you are saved, realize this. He loved you and died for you. And the life that you now live is all because of him. Think about all the stupidity of your life when you were younger, making your own decisions, living the way you want to live. And now look where God has brought you at now. Think about all that God has done for you now. And look at your wife. Look at your kids. Look at your husband. Look at all that God has given you. And go, wow. Stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe for all that God has done. He's been the best thing to you, and it pleased him to do it. And if you can get that in your mind and in your heart, you'll do everything in your power to please him. Because he changed your life. And I want you to realize this about a testimony. Our testimony is supposed to be in times past. People are supposed to hear only what we used to be. Don't live the same way now. And if you do that, if you live right, you live clean, and you separate yourself, you change your testimony and say, I'm going to live for God. It pleased him to die for me, so now I'm going to try to please him the best I can. This is what happens. Verse number 23 of Galatians 1. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. They looked. Listen to me. This is crazy. Remember that little kid and that adult I told you about? That when I picture reading my Bible, I think about them. And I think maybe that daddy, he starts thinking, man, Saul, he tried to persecute me. He tried to kill me. My little kid, I ran because of him. I was so scared that Saul was going to take him from me. But now he's preaching Christ crucified. Now he's preaching that God is everything to him. Look at him. He's so different. He's Paul now, the apostle. He's wrote all these beautiful letters. He cares about my kid. He cares about my life. And he's telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't glorify Paul. They didn't say, oh, thanks be to Paul. Paul, you're amazing. I'm so glad you changed. That adult, listen to me. He looked at his kid. He looked at Paul and said, God, that's you. You did that. You changed his life. Only you can change a man like Saul. Only you can change them. This is all God. If you live right and you do right, listen to me, church, and you live a clean life and say, God, I'm just trying to serve you the best I can. We understand we're not perfect. We understand we mess up. We understand we fall. But listen to me, church. Get back up. Dust yourself off and say, God, I fell. I'm sorry today, but tomorrow I'm going to serve you. Tomorrow I'm going to do better. And eventually, step by step, day by day, you just get a little closer to the Lord. Get a little closer
People are going to look at you and they're not going to say, wow, look how good he did. They're going to say, wow, look how big God is. God changed their life.
Aren't you tired of not showing people Jesus Christ in your life? Aren't you tired of taking all the spotlight? It's not about you. We must decrease, so he must increase. Brother Jesse, you come. Mark 5 tells a story of a maniac of Gadara. And this man, he was insane, right? Everybody knew it. People knew the chains, man. When they put it on him, he'd break them. He'd cut himself. Man, what a terrible man he was. People were terrified of him. They were scared of him. But one day, Jesus came by his way. One day, Jesus Christ came by and cast those devils out, and he became a man clothed and in his right mind. Changed his life forever. And then you know what he does after that? It says he goes and publishes it throughout all the land. He goes and tells everybody what Jesus Christ did for him. And you know what people did? It says, and all men did marvel. They said, wait, that's the maniac? That's the one that when I was at night, I'd hear him screaming? That's the one who'd cut himself and break the chains and live in the caves and the tombs? And man, he was insane. You're telling me that Jesus Christ can change him? That's amazing. And I wonder if other people, now we understand that the town kicked him out, but I wonder if others around, after he started publishing his testimony, I wonder if others went, whoa, God can do that for him. Man, I've been dealing with my own problems. Man, there's a storm that's raging in my heart. I wonder if God can calm it. There's something going on with me. I wonder if God can fix that the way he fixed the maniac of Gadara. And I wonder how many gave their hearts to God because of his testimony. But listen to me, church. Because they heard only. Because they heard that he used to be the maniac. Because they heard what he used to be. They heard he used to cut himself. They heard he used to dwell in the caves. But he didn't do that anymore. He didn't live that way anymore. Now he was dressed and in his right mind. But if he would have went back to the caves, I wonder how many would have said, I knew it. God's not that powerful. Yeah. Nobody could have fixed him. It's all right, Jesus. You're a pretty good prophet, but only God can fix that man. If he would have went back, I wonder how many would have said, I knew it. Have the testimony of they heard only, not right now. Brother Jesse, you pray. Play. Every head bowed, every eye closed.